y'all. How everybody doing?
Maddie,
okay,
if
how you doing?
Your name on that list, you've got to call Renee and let her know.
The what button?
If you was going to participate in our senior thing,
I texted her and told her I won't go do the senior, the summer thing.
Oh, okay. Well, call her. She
might not have got it.
Right. Call her so she can send you a letter, because she was going to send the letters to those that wasn't there that she didn't know about.
Okay. Thank you, Brum.
Okay. I did Ruby C's.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know about you.
Hey, Maddie. Hey, Clay.
Hey, Ruby D said hi, too. She's half sleepy.
Hey, I didn't get a report. Text you a couple times, let me know what was going on. Then Kim called me and told me what was going on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I heard two people ring in. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Celestine.
Hey, Celestine. And
Gloria.
Hey, Gloria.
Hey, Gloria. Hey. Celestine. Hey.
Looks like
how
she
seemed
to be doing.
She's sleeping now.
Oh, okay.
She's okay. The surgery went real, you know, so.
That's good.
It's the main thing.
Yeah. And she's just sleeping. She's complaining because, you know, she's a bonnet eater and they don't have anything for what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first day don't count if you don't eat good.
Yeah, she wants fried chicken.
She wants fried chicken collard greens. Y'all know Ruben.
The first day don't count. I'm just glad you woke up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I know that much more.
Yeah, I made it. You just say, hallelujah. I made it out from under whatever junk they put you under. Hallelujah.
That's right, mom.
Yeah, you wake up shouting, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord have mercy.
She said, tell me.
Are you
going to
be tested for 40 years?
I'm going to have to put y'all on mute.
Okay, darling.
All right.
Good evening, welcome, Carl.
Good evening, and blessings to you all.
Good evening, Apostle.
Good evening, Apostle.
I hope everybody's doing well by the grace of God.
Hey, what you saying?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening, everyone. This is Ann. How you all doing?
Hey, Ann. How you doing?
Good evening.
Margaret Ann.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Howdy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Good evening, family.
Good evening, family.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. evening. I heard someone ring in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Hallelujah.
Good evening.
How you doing,
Doing well. Good evening. Good evening. How are
you? She just want to talk.
I'm okay.
Amen. You are healed.
Amen.
You are healed. Healed. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sister Jan.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. Good evening to you.
Jan Ruby said hi.
Oh, tell us a hello. You told I called to ask about her.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, all right. She doing good.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
She only got a few more steps to go to make the marathon. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Sister Jan, for that song. Sunday.
To God be the glory.
Amen. I heard your mother singing.
Oh, my God. Matter of fact, her birthday is tomorrow.
Ah, oh, okay.
Yes. November the 20th.
Yeah, all right.
I can still see her now singing up there with Willie Mae.
Willie Mae Hill.
I'm sorry. Willie Mae Hill slapping herself on the side. And
too much kicking at that nose. I still have some VCR tapes with her on that thing.
Wow. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's time to get started, y'all. It's about 7:05 p.m. November the 19th, 2024, and we're ready to begin. So good evening, everyone. Good to have you on the call this evening. We welcome you to our walk in the woods, the 3 P's and the E, preaching, prayer, praise, and equipping by teaching on the course of Matthew 28:19. So, on the behalf of our ministers on Out of the Box, Gates of Prayer, Gotten Place Beyond the Wall, Enlightenment Ministries, and Thursday Night Scriptures, Minister Mayor with you, we welcome you to our walk in the world. We're going to begin our service tonight by prayer. I haven't heard the percolator on the line, and his backup is in the hospital, so here we go. Is this Milton on? Good evening, welcome caller. So, as I was saying, we're going to begin with prayer. Sister Janice, Geraldine Hopkins Lewis, can you grace us with the song this evening?
What'd you say, Brother Clance?
Can you sing a song for us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we're going to begin with prayer. Lord, thank you for your word and for all the truth and wisdom that it contains. Please prepare our hearts, O Lord, to receive your word. Remove the stones from the soil of our hearts and the weeds from our lives so that we may be able to ready to hear your word, understand your word, and live your word for the glory of your name. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, we have created these things, we pray. The world is beautiful, and we look to the heavens, humble hearts, knowing that one who created it loves us. Dear Lord, you have created a beautiful world, and we admire your omnipotence. We ask for your forgiveness with earnest hearts and devote our lives to you. Oh, Lord, we ask that you give your blessings on listening to this evening and what we are trying to accomplish. We ask your prayers for those that are in need, for those that are in sickness. We ask your prayers for those that are depressed and despondent. We pray, oh God, that you give us the strength to continue this ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jesus, we'll fix it for you. Oh, yes, he will, and he knows just what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you pray, let him have his way. Jesus will fix it for you. Oh, I cried him. He fixed it for me. Oh, yes, he will, and he knows just what to do. And whenever you pray, let him have his way. I know Jesus will fix it for you.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus will fix it for you. Oh, yes, he will, and he knows just what to do. I said, whenever you pray, whenever you pray, let him have his way. Jesus will fix it for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know Jesus will fix it for me. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for that song. On tonight, want to say good evening to each of you that are joining us here in our Walk in the Word on Tuesday. I just want to thank you again for all of your support, certainly always remembering us in terms of the ministry in which we are involved in and helping those that are outside of our walls, and to many who do not come inside, and being able to carry the word of God to them right where they are. And I will say this, sometimes they may be in an office building. Sometimes they may be even serving as local officials, but they need the word as well. So I want to just thank you for what you do to carry out Matthew 25:35-40, and also carrying out Matthew 28:19-20, because that's the purpose of this ministry. That's the purpose of us coming each week, whether it's on Sunday, whether it's on Tuesday, whether you are part of when we do face-to-face ministry on Thursdays, downtown Macon, as well as on Friday. We do a Bible study there at the at Ebenezer Church at 10:30. And we just want to thank you for your prayers again and your encouragement. But know you coming each week is to build you up as disciples of Christ, as citizens of the kingdom, as servants for the Lord, for you to also carry out that mandate of Matthew 28:19-20, sharing the good news. So, again, I just wanted to make sure I tell you that and let you know how much I appreciate you, as well as how we intercede and pray on your behalf. We call your name. We don't just say those on the line, but we call your specific name out and pray the words of the word for you as the Holy Spirit gives us insight. I want to go ahead on and get started tonight. Hopefully we won't hold you very long. Certainly want to say good evening to Sister Ruby there. She's had surgery on today. We've been praying Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. We know that it is true. We are standing on it, and we know that she is healed. But we pray for her comfort. We pray for those who care for her as well as others. We want to also ask that you please keep Sister Ann Mack. She is a listener out of Alabama, out of Linden, Alabama, as a matter of fact. We want you to keep her in prayer. We received word today that she is there in Demopolis, Alabama, and she is in the ICU. But I have been praying today and reading my scripture, believing God, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, knowing that she is healed and that she is an ambassador for Christ as well. Sister Brenda, I want to go ahead and get started tonight. Last Tuesday, we looked at a topic entitled, What Do We Do Now? What do we do now? Deacon Connor, last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And that verse, Deacon Connor, points us to that we must trust in the Lord with all of our heart. When we looked at this topic last week, we looked at it from what was going on in the world. As we know, the presidential election had occurred, and the announcement of who our new president will be came to light. We've heard so much of this and that. We've heard about Project 2025. We've heard about who some of his cabinet selections will be. We have gone from a four-star general to leading to some person that may be leading or some type of newscaster, possibly being in one of those high-level positions. But, you know, I look at it from the perspective of what do we do now? What we must do as disciples and as citizens of the kingdom, we must put our total trust and confidence in our God. Yes, the God who in Genesis 1 and 1 that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have to put our trust, Sister Maxwell, in the very one that says, we shall create man in our image and in our likeness. That's where our trust has to be. Last week when we looked at Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, Sister Brenda, we made the comment to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We must wholly rely upon God's promises. We must rely upon God's wisdom. We must rely upon God's power and the love to help us in every situation and every circumstance. That's what we said last week. When we asked that question, what do we do now? We also looked at Deacon Carla, why can I trust him? The reason why I can trust him, Sister Maxwell, the reason why I can trust God is that God does not change. Malachi 3 and 6. Not only does God not change, but Psalm 92 and 15 tells us the Lord is upright. He is no rock, and there is no wickedness in him. God is not evil and would not lead us to destruction. Instead, Deacon Carter, my sisters and brothers, he leads us into the path of righteousness. Psalm 23, verse number 3. The other thing we talked about last week is when we looked at this topic, what do we do now? Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 describes
lives the benefits that come to the person who trusts in the Lord with all his or her heart. There are some benefits, you all. There are some privileges that we receive as disciples of Christ when we put our total trust in God. But it says in that verse, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree that is planted by the waters, which spreads out his roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but his leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I want us to know something tonight. Even in the midst of, no matter what they say may happen or this thing may happen, I want us to know as people of God, and because we're connected to the true vine, because we are being renewed and transformed by the word of God, and we are doers of the word, I want us to know tonight, we don't have to worry. We got to put our trust in God. Yes. We got to put our trust, our total trust in God. We cannot allow fear to overcome us. We cannot allow anxiety to overcome us. But what do we do now? Last week we said we're going to put our trust, our total confidence in our Creator, in our Father. So tonight, as I continue part two of this topic of what do we do now, part two, I want us to go to Acts chapter 16, if you don't mind. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 16 through verse number 34, continuing in the topic, what do we do now, part two. Luke is the penman of Acts, traditionally called the Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts could be more properly titled the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because his power resonates from nearly every page here in the book of Acts. The resounding message of Acts is that the church is alive. In spite of opposition, in spite of persecution, the church marches on. And when I talk about the church, you all, I want us to understand when we speak of the church, we're not talking about that building, that stone, that lumber, but I'm talking about us as ambassadors of Christ. We are the sanctuary. We are the temple in which the Holy Spirit resides on the inside. When I go to the assembly, when I go to the brick, when I go to the brick and mortar, I'm going there to assemble with my brothers and sisters so that I can be encouraged, so that I can be taught the word, so that I can see the movement of the Holy Spirit and how the word comes forth and how it links to me in terms of how I am to walk in the biblical principles and the truth of the word of God. But the church should be, we need to understand that the church is a body. It is an organism, and it is alive. Everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit goes with me, because the Holy Spirit dwells, you all, on the inside of me. I don't have to ask the Holy Spirit, I'll ask God to go to the hospital, because I, as a representative of Christ Jesus, I, as a representative one, that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside, when I show up at the hospital with Christ living in me, there ought to be a difference. There ought to be a change. So tonight when we look at this, see, we too many times we have looked at ourselves from a position of I'm not worthy, I'm not good, I don't want nobody to think that I'm better than somebody else. That is not what we're saying tonight. What we are saying is that we are representatives of Christ Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of us, and we as citizens of the King have the power to be able to lay hands on the sick and the sick get well. See, we have decreased our own power because we walk in what we of our yesterday. We walk in shame. We walk in guilt. But I stopped by tonight to tell you that you are a disciple of Christ. You are ambassador of Christ. He told us there in John 14:12, greater works you shall do. And we're going to do greater works as disciples of Christ. The only way for us to do those greater works is you've got to know your identity. You've got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You've got to know who you're connected to. You've got to know the power that you have been given. For Acts 1 and 8 says you have the power. Peter told him in Acts 2:38, he says, repent and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that we must activate. Let's go on to Acts chapter 16 and we're going to close it out tonight. Well, when we look at, as I said earlier, Deacon Connor, when we look at Acts, the book of Acts, Luke, the Dr. Luke is the penman of Acts. We see the Holy Spirit all over the pages of Acts. And as we come to our focus passage of scripture this evening, we see two ambassadors of Christ. We see two ambassadors. We see two citizens of the kingdom. And their name is Paul and Silas. Mm-hmm. So what do we know about Paul and Silas? They were, number one, they were committed missionaries in the early days of the church. I want us to write this word down, committed. They were committed missionaries. They were committed missionaries, meaning they were going from place to place. It means that they had made a personal, they had a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They had taken on his mission. They had taken on his purpose. They had taken on the calling of Matthew 28:19-20. They had taken on that same calling that Jesus says, I have come to preach the good news. So they were committed missionaries. Here's the second thing about them, Sister Jan. They were responsible for spreading the gospel, the good news, to many parts of the world. And they were instrumental in what? Planting churches. What that means is they were laser focused on the mission and on the purpose that they were called to. I'm going to ask that question again later on. As we're down almost to the last month of the year. We're in November, the 11th month. And I ask the question, have you been committed to the mission? Have you been committed to the purpose? Have you been committed to the vision that the Lord has given you? Have you been committed? Have you been that missionary? Have you been that disciple that you have been called to be? Here's the other thing I want to ask tonight. There's something else about the third thing about these two men, Paul and Silas. They both lived lives of great personal sacrifice and were willing to endure persecution and hardship to further the gospel. That's number three about them. They were committed missionaries. They were responsible for spreading the good news, the gospel. They lived lives of personal sacrifice. They were willing to endure persecution and hardship so that the gospel could be continued from place to place. Here's the fourth thing about them. Deacon Carter, their preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was so powerful and transformative. I want you to write that word down tonight, transformative, that many people got saved and stopped buying idols from the idol makers in the city. When we go back and we look at many of these cities and we follow the map and we follow the culture of many of these places, we find that their culture was made up of having idols. And idols, for them, they were carvings. They were carvings made out of different things, out of wood or whatsoever.
Yes.
Sister Maddie,
yes.
They had idols, and we have idols today. So when we look, let me tell you an idol, having a rabbit's foot in your pocket. Oh, that's an idol. You rub it and say, this going to be my good luck charm. Or we have other idols. We can have idols in terms of people in our lives and things in our lives. Jobs can be idols. The trinkets that we have can be idols in our lives. But their preaching of the good news was so transformative that they dropped. They left behind their little wooden calves. They left behind their little wooden lambs. And they took all Jesus Christ. That's the thing about this good news. It changes you, Deacon Connor. It changes you from the inside out because it was an inside job. Too many people want to show what they look like on the outside, but what does your inside look like? What do you look like when ain't nobody listening, nobody looking? What do you look like? What do you say? What do you read when nobody else is looking at you? Ah, notice this. It says that these two men, Paul and Silas, the message, it wasn't their message, but they were representative of the message. And they said that the message that they preached was so transformative. That's why you all, when we see someone who used to be, and you look at them now and say, oh, look what the change has come over them. Oh, look at the change. Why? Because there has been a transformative change on the inside, and that's what God will do. God works from the inside out, transformative. And here's what was so interesting about this, Deacon Connor, but yet so shocking, my brothers and sisters, because they dropped their little idols, because they dropped their little rabbit's foot, because they dropped their little carvings of the calves and the sheep and the birds, this is what happened. These businessmen were losing money because of the preaching of the word of God. And they demanded that it be stopped. They wanted Paul and Silas to shut up. Y'all got to stop this preaching about the good news. Y'all got to stop telling people about the good news and what Jesus would do and how Jesus would save and how Jesus would keep them, because we've been making a whole lot of money on selling these calves. We've been making a whole lot of money on selling these carvings of these lambs and these sheep and these birds. You all got to shut your mouth and stop talking about Jesus. I'm gonna tell you all. You may not know it, you may not know it or have ever experienced it, but keep on living in the world we live in now. Folks ain't gonna want you to talk about Jesus. Now I know good English, okay? So, but I'm gonna just talk tonight from the Word of God. From the Word of God. Look, there are gonna be people don't want to hear about Jesus. There are gonna be people that tell you, we don't want you to say that word, Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. And we as disciples of Christ have the Holy Ghost power, and we know that it can change situations. Here's the thing. Sister Maxwell, it's strange to me that, see, when you start messing with folks' money, see, if it didn't mess with their pocketbooks, if it didn't mess with this, they would have been all right. But what happened was when they start preaching, Jesus saves, Jesus lives, Jesus saves, Jesus delivers, Jesus rescues, Jesus heals, and people start saying, wait a minute, this calf ain't doing nothing for me, and they start throwing. When you mess with a pocketbook, And what happened was they began to mess with the pocketbook. When you mess with people whose mind is caught up in greed and would do anything to get what they want. Somebody said, where is she going tonight? I'm in the Word tonight. I'm in the Word tonight. Because you go back and you read this scripture, that's what was happening. That's why they got mad with Paul and Silas. They got mad with them because they began to mess with the economical system. What was going in their pocketbook, what they was getting out of it. Oh, you got to go to jail now. You got to get out of here now. Well, we got to get rid of you now because you are messing with our economic. But here's something else they were messing with. They were messing with the God that they were pushing. See, it's all right, you know, if you ain't messing with mine. But what they were saying is that God that they talking about, you need to lay it down because it can't do anything for you. It can't help you. It can't deliver you. It can't heal you. Let me go on. Let me read some more. Here it is. So these two men, they were committed missionaries. They were responsible for spreading the gospel. They lived lives. They were great. Their lives were one of personal sacrifice. They were willing to endure persecution and hardship to follow the gospel. They were willing to give the good news, which was transformative, which would change, would make people stand up and say, I'm a child of the King. However, amidst their unjust imprisonment and physical affliction, these two men turn to the power of prayer. What do you do now? And witness miraculous results. So tonight's session presents part two on what do you do now? What do we do now? I want us to capture these words in our notes tonight. Capture this word. The importance of persistence. The importance of persistence. The second word I want you to capture tonight, a phrase, is unwavering faith in facing adversity. Unwavering faith. In facing adversity. The third phrase I want you to capture tonight is resilience in the face of persecution. Resilience in the face of persecution. The other thing I want you to capture tonight is transformative power of praise, prayer, and worship. The transformative power of praise, prayer, and worship. The other thing I want to present tonight and just put out on the table for discussion later on, the role of the Holy Spirit when we come to our what do we do now situations. Because everybody on this line is going to have or have had some what do we do now situations. Someone is listening and watching you go through or in the midst of your trial, of your very own, what do we do now? What do you do now? Let's look at this scripture tonight, looking at Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse number 16. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified tonight. As we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell future events and to discover hidden knowledge. Mm-hmm. And she brought her owners much gain by her fortune telling. She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, "These men are the servants of the Most High God. They announce to you the way of salvation." That's what they were preaching. And she did this for many days. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit within her, "I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very moment. I'm just setting the foundation for us tonight. I want us to understand where Paul and Silas was going to. I want us to understand that this slave girl who had some owners and who had some bosses and who had some businessmen that was had her set up. I don't know if she was side the road or not, Deacon Karma. I don't know that, but I do know the business that she was in. I also know the business that she was in her fortune telling was making a whole lot of money for who? Not for her. It was making a whole lot of money for her owner, because she was a slave girl. Keep that in mind. A slave girl, meaning she was owned by somebody else. Let's keep reading. But when her owners, verse number 19, and in the King James it says, her masters, but when her owners discovered that their hope of profit was gone, they caught hold of Paul and Silas. And notice what they did to them, you all. Here it is. This girl has been delivered. See, she no longer has the spirit of divination. She no longer has the spirit of fortune telling. As a matter of fact, she's been set free. But notice, rather than the owners and the other people that are around shouting for her deliverance because she's no longer owned, she's no longer being possessed by this spirit, notice what happens in verse number 19. But when her owners discovered that their hope of profit was gone, they caught hold of Paul and Silas. And notice what they did to them. They dragged them before the authorities in the forum of the marketplace where trials are held. Now, I want y'all to notice something. They didn't even give them an opportunity to even say anything on their own behalf. They dragged them because, notice this, they dragged them because their economical system has been impacted. The money has been impacted. But notice what happens here. I'm going to keep reading verse 20. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, this is Paul and Silas, they declared, "These fellows are Jews, and they are throwing our city into great confusion." They encouraged, notice this, they encouraged the practice of customs which is unlawful for us, Romans, to accept or observe. See, they didn't really look at Paul and Silas close enough, because if they had looked at them close enough, they would realize that they were Romans too. You'll see that later on in the scripture. Verse 22, the crowd, notice this. Isn't it something how you're not involved in a situation, but all of a sudden you see what everybody else is doing, and then you run to be a part of it? Notice, look at this verse. The crowd also joined in the attack upon them. And the rulers, notice what happens to Paul and Silas tonight. What do you do now? When you got a vision that you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be at, you get there and notice what happens to you. You've been told this is where you need to be. But when they get there, it said not only were they dragged, but But notice what else happens to them, Sister Gillum. The crowd also joined in the attack upon them, and the rulers tore the clothes off of them. This is humiliation. This is humiliation. They've already been, they're already being beaten. They're already being dragged. They've already been put out front because of doing the work of the Lord. Is it possible that we can be persecuted because we're doing what God called us to do? Is it possible that we can be dragged out? And what did the old people used to say? Your name up on the sideboard because you're doing what God called you to do. Let me keep on reading. And the rulers tore the clothes off of them and commanded that they be beaten with rods. Now, these rods that they had, they were the kind of rods that were, that it wasn't no little old rope, okay? It was something that would hurt, that would bring punishment. It would hurt. It was something that was hard. But notice this. They were beaten. They were beaten naked. Because their clothes were off. 23. And when they had struck them with many blows, they didn't just hit them one time. They didn't just hit them two times. But they beat them to death. They beat them. Now, I'm doing the work of the Lord. I'm doing what God told me to do. We'll see the results of God's word going forth and God doing and people being changed, people being saved, people being delivered, people being healed. But notice this, and when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into what? Prison. Didn't even give them an opportunity to be able to defend themselves. They give them an opportunity. They bring them before the magistrate, and I can see them now. They don't need you saying anything. We don't need to hear anything you got to say. We already got folks who can all witness to what you've done. And notice this. It says right here, verse 23, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them what? Safely. He, having received so strict a charge, this is the jailer, he put them, Sister Brenda, into the inner prison. What he did was he put them in the dungeon. He put them in the worst part of the prison that you could put anybody in. And the reason why I'm taking my time to read this tonight, we need to understand the situation and the circumstance Paul and Silas was under. This wasn't no little thing taking me down to this place or that. They were dragged out. They were beaten without their clothes on, without their shirts on. They were humiliated. And then here they are. They are now being taken to a prison. They were taken to the inner part of the prison, which is the dungeon. It was the dungeon. It was there where the rocks were, where it's cold at, where it's dark at. And notice this, and fasten their feet in the stuff. What it was, look, we're going to make sure, y'all make sure, God, you make sure that they do not get out of here. You make sure that they cannot escape. So not only did they throw them in the prison, not only did they throw them in the dungeon, but they put their they put them in stocks. That means those are those things you put your when you can't move. They put your feet in it. We saw that during slavery. We saw that when you look at the pictures of the chains that were put around our foreparents' necks, the chains and the stocks that were put around their feet so they couldn't run, their hands. We see it, and this is what they were going through. Because they were preaching the transformative power of the word of God. Let's keep reading. But about midnight, verse 25, about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying, notice this is what you do. What do we do now? What do we, Paul and Silas, I can see them now. What do we do now? We are here because we were told to come here. We were sent here, and look what has happened to us. So what do we do now? Here's the first thing. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were, what did they do? They prayed. praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. I want you all to know something. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is listening to you. Somebody want to see you go through your trial. How are you going to go through your circumstances? How are you going to go through your situation? What do we do now? How are you going to go through your illness? How are you going to go through this when your child is in this situation? When your child is going through this thing or that thing? How are you going to go through? It said that the prisoners were listening.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is listening to your praise. Somebody's listening to your prayer. Somebody's watching you to see how you're going to come through this. Because the prisoners that was in there, they were in there, some were in there because they had done wrong. Here, these two men thrown in prison ain't did nothing wrong. So how you going to act? So let me keep reading. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the doors were open and everyone's shackles were unfastened. When the jailer startled out of his sleep, saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was on the point of killing himself because he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Then the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling and terrified, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out of the dungeon and said, "Men, what is it necessary for me to do that I may be saved?" And they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping. And you will be saved." And this applies both to you and your household as well. And they declared the word of the Lord, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, to him and to all who were in his household. And he took them the same hour of the night and bathed them because of their bloody wounds. This is what the jailer did for Paul and Silas. And he was baptized immediately and all the members of his household. Then he took them up into his house and set food before them. This is what the jailer did for Paul and Silas. And he leaped much for joy and exulted with all his family that he believed in God, accepting and joyously welcoming what he had made known through Christ. That's our scripture tonight, coming from Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 16 through 34. So what, Deacon Carter, do we do now? What do we do now? We're in prison now. We see Paul and Silas traveling to Philippi. We see them encountering a woman who can predict people's futures because of the spirit of divination. We see Paul casting the demon out of her. We see her owners being angry because their profits is now dried up. They can't profit from her bondage any longer. But I got to ask this question tonight. Is it possible that there are those who profit from other people's bondages? Are there others who are profiting because of other people's bondages? We see Paul after he cast the demon, cast the spirit of divination out of her. We see what they do to them. They strip them. They tie them. They beat them up severely. They throw them in the dungeon. They humiliate them. They put them in stocks. My question tonight is, what do you do now? Well, Deacon Connor, the first thing I notice that they do is that they pray. Well, what am I going to do now? Am I going to focus on ABC, NBC, and CBS when they tell me about Project 2025? Am I going to focus on when they tell me about what Social Security is going to do? Well, am I going to focus on when they tell me what the stock market is going to be? Oh, no. What am I going to do now? I'm going to pray. I'm going to be like Paul and Silas in the midst of it. I'm going to pray. I know what has happened to me. I know the persecution that has come. I know the persecution that may come. I know what they're saying about this thing and that thing, and putting this person in this position, and them not being qualified, and them coming with their own personal agenda. But let me tell y'all something. I'm like David now. I once was young, but now I'm old. See, we got to get our eyes off of this and start looking to the hills from whence cometh our help, and know that our help cometh from the Lord. Notice what Paul and Silas do. They're not in the prison complaining. They're not in there saying, we did the right thing. We were sent here, and we came, and we preached the word of God, and people were saved, and people were delivered, and here we are in prison. No, notice what they do, Deacon Carter. Notice they're in the dungeon. Notice that they are in stocks. Notice that, but guess what? You may have me physically, but you ain't got me spiritually. You ain't got the mind, because guess what? They may have been physically in prison, but their spirit was free. We need to write that down. Physically, they were in prison. They were in the dungeon, no doubt about it. The word of God says they were. But spiritually, they had their eyes stayed on Jesus. And so what do they make up their mind to do? Not to grumble, not to complain of this and that. Notice what they do. They say it about midnight. Paul and Silas were what? They were praying. I want to say tonight, this is what I'm going to do. What am I going to do now? I'm going to pray. Prayer always prevails. Matthew 6:6 says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will do what? Will reward you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. The importance of prayer can never be neglected in our lives. As believers in Christ, we have to follow Jesus' example. He never did anything without praying. This is because prayer is the key to our victory. Jesus started with prayer, and he ended up in prayer. So if we as disciples of Christ, and we know we're connected to the true vine, you know what? Know this. You got the weapon to fight the battle that you're in. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Paul and Silas believed with all their hearts that God hears and that God, Sister Dudley, answers prayer. I'm sure that when they were approached by the magistrates, arrested and forced into the judgment area, stripped of their clothing, beaten by the people, and ordered to be thrown into prison, they had been praying and calling up God to help them. I find it encouraging that even though they may have thought that God did not hear them during all of this, they kept calling to him, and they continued to do what? They continued to pray. They had a peace of God. They had the peace of God in the midst of the turmoil of the world. Let me give you a scripture, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Let me give you another scripture, Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Pray. What are you going to do now? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray without ceasing. Here's the second thing I'm going to do, Deacon Carter. I'm going to praise him. What am I going to do now? Not only last week I told you I'm going to put my trust in him. Not only last week did I tell you my total confidence is in him. This week, I'm telling you, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to praise him. Notice verse 25b. As we pray, believing that God is going to hear and answer, we begin to praise him. We remember that he has not left us alone, and he has a purpose in those things that are happening in our lives. Yes, I'm going to praise him. Psalm 40 and verse number 3. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Here's the other thing that I'm going to do you all in terms of what do I do now. I am going to rely on my God to protect me, to deliver me in his own way and in his own time. What does Psalm 91 say? Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the foul snare and from the deadly pestilence. Notice this tonight, you all. The three things I made up in my mind that I'm going to do. What do I do now? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to praise him. And then I'm going to rely on my God to protect me and deliver me. What did he do there in that prison? It said that suddenly an earthquake came. And it said that it came and it shook so hard that the shackles from the prisoners fell loose. Said that the prisoner, the jailer, came in who was in charge, and he saw it. He was about to kill himself. But Paul said, no need to, because we are all here. I want us to understand tonight that our praise and our authentic worship leads others to say, what must I do to be saved? In the midst of my trial, somebody can come along and say, Minister Deborah, I saw how you went through that situation. I saw how God kept you. I saw how God protected your mind. I saw how God delivered you. I saw how God provided for you. Tell me more about him. Tell me how I can connect with him. Here's the thing. In the midst of this, we can win souls into the kingdom of God. Every moment we have should be used to win souls for the kingdom of God. We have to utilize every opportunity and every situation in our lives to be able to share with others about this good news. When I go to the doctor, I can tell somebody else, I might be here and I might have to get a new prescription, or I may have to have this or that done. But I want to tell you, sister, I want to tell you, brother, my God is a healer. My God is the healer. My God is the deliverer. I can still witness to somebody. Deacon Connor, even in the midst of my trials, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of what I'm going through, we have to understand it is our attitude. When I know I'm connected to our Savior, I can use the opportunity to win. So that's what Paul and Silas did, because that jailer woke up and he asked the question, what must I do? So tonight, I leave you with this. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do when you hear all the news and all the various things that are going on around us? What are you going to do? I'm going to do like Paul and Silas. I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise him. And I'm going to thank him for his protection. And I'm going to thank him for delivering me. And I'm going to thank him for being my provider. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Susie.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Hello?
Yeah, Dick.
We're here.
We can hear you, sir.
Sister Susie.
Yes, I feel like praising him, praising in the morning, praising
all the night.
I feel like praising him. Yes, I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance. Praising in the morning,
praising him.
You don't want freedom to hinder me. If you don't want to praise him, don't you hinder me. Praising in the morning, praising him all day long.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Yeah, that's me. Me first.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's worthy. He's worthy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
He's worthy. He's worthy.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise him.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Can't you see the foundations shaking?
Yes.
Can't you see the doors opening?
Yes.
Can't you see the chains falling off?
Yes.
I believe tonight is a night that the doors open up. I can see tonight being a night where the chains come off. The chains that have been holding us back. The chains of shame.
Yes, Lord.
The chains of guilt.
Yes.
The chains of oppression, the chains of depression, the chains coming off, the chains knowing that I'm free, that I'm free in Christ Jesus. Can't you see the foundation being shaken? The things that have tried to hold us, the things that have tried to keep us in the dungeon, the things that have tried to keep us in prison. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? I can see Paul and Silas praying. I can see them praying, and they and their prayers are directed to heaven. I can see them talking to the Heavenly Father, and I can see them saying, "Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. We've done what you told us to do. We've done what you told us to do, and we still going to tell you thank you, even though our backs are bleeding, even though that we're being beaten, even though,
thank you, Jesus.
Even though they have talked about us, even though they've trumped up charges But that's all right. We still gonna do what you told us to do. I can see them now. Not only will they see it, I can hear them say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." I was blind, but now I see. I can see.
Take care of you.
No matter what God will. Take care of you. I can hear them singing. I can hear them praying. But I can see somebody looking. I can see somebody listening. Who is that God they calling? What is his name? What is his name? Somebody said his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. I can hear Paul and Silas saying his name is Jesus. And
hallelujah.
Saved, salvation comes through right. Only his name, the name of Jesus. Tell us more about his name. Even when the chains fell off, the men didn't run. Paul could say we're all accounted for, that we are all here. Isn't that something, y'all? We are all here in the same place. Not in the same house. Not in the same location. But we are all in the same place because we are connected to the true vine and the Holy Spirit is in each of us, and we have connected. I can see him now. He straightens up, even though blood is flowing down his back. Somebody say, how you know that, Deborah? Because it said that the jailer took him home, and it said that he cleaned him up. And not only did he clean him up, but he gave him some food to eat. And not only that, not only was the jailer saved, but his whole household was saved. Somebody need to hear me tonight. His whole household need to hear the word of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah.
And the truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
10:9-10. If you recall on the name of Jesus and believe in your heart,
Jesus.
That you will align to the word of God, align to his biblical principles, align to his truth, align to who he is. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All you got to do is, I can hear Paul now. I can hear now the Lord. I've done what you told me to do. That's the reason why Paul he could say, I fought a good fight. Because he did what the Lord told him to do. Tonight, I got a question for you. Have you done what the Lord told you to do? Are you worried about the persecution? Are you worried about this and that? But I stopped by tonight to let you know that God is still in the business of shaking foundation. God is still in the business of opening jailhouse doors. God is still in the business of untying chains from around our minds. God is in the
Thank you, Lord.
What are you going to do when I heard about Sister Ann Mack being in your hospital. You know, I could have went into my corner and started crying. And I could have went in my corner and started this, but guess what I start doing? I start praying the word of God. Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. What are you going to do? I start looking to the hills of where my help coming from. And this is what I did, Pastor Reggie. I said I'm going to lift up. To the hills of whence coming my helper. I know that my helper, my helper, my helper, my helper comes from the Lord. And then this is what I said about Reuben Dudley going through surgery. I looked at my time. I said, all of you right about this time now. Isaiah 43 and 2. You said, Lord, that you will bring us through. You said, Lord, that you're never leave me. You said, Lord, that you would never forsake them. Lord, I know you're going to bring us through right now. In the name of Jesus, somebody on this line needs to know that God is still in the business of saving. God is still in the business of delivering. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody is a slave to something. And you can come out of slavery tonight. You don't have to be a slave to that thing anymore. You don't ever have to be controlling you anymore. You can come out of it. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on,
Thank
you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Yes, he is.
He's worthy to pray.
He can need it.
Hallelujah.
Yes. What you gonna do?
Amen. Was that hard or not? Amen.
Hallelujah.
What you
Thank
gonna
you,
do
Jesus.
Now?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What you doing now? Hallelujah. Come on. Come
what
on.
What you gonna do now?
What you gonna do?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
All right, saints. All right, saints. It's been a hot night. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Microwave lit it up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Kuiper.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Deacon Connor, saints on the line. Ain't he all right?
Yes. Yes.
Our God is able.
Yes,
He's
he
able.
Is. Fully God and fully able.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Amen.
We can praise
Amen.
Him. We trust Him. Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes. Come on. Help us.
Let it be real.
Yes.
Come on now.
Let it be real.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you do, do for the master. Let it be real. When you pray, let it be real.
Yes.
Let it be real. Whatever you do for the master, let it be real.
When you can cry out tonight. You can bless his name tonight.
the word of praise. I just thank God tonight for the word, for the prayer, hallelujah, for the praise, hallelujah, for the belief and trusting who God is. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord tonight because he's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. But against principalities, powers, and spirits of wickedness in the high places. Against the enemy right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. And we bless the name of the Lord. We are the saints of God. We stand strong on the promises of God. We heard the word tonight. We open our mouths tonight and gave him praise. Hallelujah. We're talking about Paul and Silas. Suddenly, hallelujah, God came into the place. I believe as they were praying, Dr. Dev, Apostle, Deacon Connor, Sister Pat, all the saints on the line, I believe when they were praising, they said they were praying and singing to God. Hallelujah. They got into a Tehillah praise. I told you, it says God inhabits the Tehillah of his people. So we praise him and God shows up. We trust him and he comes through. We just believe our God is able to do anything but fail. No matter what tomorrow may bring, no matter what the day has gone, tomorrow is a new day. We look forward to what God is going to do. We look expectantly, looking, trusting, believing in God. I thank God for the saints on the line tonight. I thank God for this word. I thank God for this time of praise. I thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We open our mouths and receive from God tonight. For he's a worthy. He's a worthy God. Bless his name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Good evening. Good evening, saints. Good evening, saints. I don't know about you, but what am I going to do now?
I'm going to pray.
I'm going to pray and trust God. I'm going to praise and lift up his name. I'm going to look to the hills which cometh my help. I know all of my help comes from the Lord. Some people get upset. Some people get concerned. Some people get worried. We heard the word of God to encourage our hearts to believe God, just like Paul said. We do what the Lord says, and we know that we may suffer some persecution. We may suffer some punishment. We may suffer in the midst of the situation. We may even get whipped and beat. Y'all don't know. That day might be coming for the saints. But we're going to stand strong and believe God. And I believe that it was significant that it was at midnight, because the day is changing. It's no longer the old day. It's a new day. At midnight, they were singing, praying, and praising their God, and God showed up. You see, God came down into the jailhouse, Dr. Dale. He came down into the jailhouse, and he came in there, but he was too big for it, so it broke up the jailhouse. And so no problem that you have is not too big for God. If you praise him and pray to him, God will show up in your circumstances. I'm a living testimony. God will show up on time. He may not show up when I wanted to. Sometimes you're looking around. But see, you ain't supposed to look around worried. Just keep praising him. Just keep praying to him. Just keep talking to him. Keep praying, talking to God. You know I need you. God, you know my circumstances. God, you know what's happening with me today. And I am your child. Come see about me. Thank God, all right? So I thank God tonight for this message. Hallelujah. And I just praise hallelujah. Glorifying his name. We should be empowered, ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We want to be able to move forward under the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us. We bless your name. I'm gonna stop digging, because I'm just in the praise mode right now, and I'm trying not to bring it up to the. So I just thank God. So when we through, I'm gonna still be praising. See, I know y'all listening to the news. We listen to it. We want to hear what's going on. But those things are not supposed to worry us. But we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we don't have to love our life even unto death. But we are going to go forward in 2025.
Yes.
Regardless what
yes,
the project
sir.
Is, we moving forward in
yes,
confidence
sir.
Of who God is. Hallelujah. Let's encourage one another continually in the faith is my prayer. I encourage all the saints on the line. Let us not just be the hearers, but we do what the word says. What are you
man.
Going to do now?
Okay.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Apostle, Asher, take this. Stop me, Apostle. Go on, Apostle. I'm going to stop right now. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Y'all, I got a Project 25 for the church.
Come on.
Talk about it. Pray, 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 pray. Prayer changes things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good evening, good evening, good evening to you all. Greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the woman of God and for the word of God, for the message tonight, for the saints of God and for the church of the living God.
Yes.
You know, God always gives us a word. He doesn't leave us. He comes to us and he gives us what we need. His word said, now our God shall supply all of our needs, and we need the word in this hour. We need a word from the
yes.
Lord. We need a true word of prophecy, and we've gotten one tonight. Amen. Instructing and encouraging us in this hour what we ought to do. I heard Dr. Singleton says that the importance of persistence, the importance
yes.
of persistence. It's important that we keep praying. But Jesus said that men ought always pray in the dark
yes.
times and the good times. Always. We should never stop. So there should be a persistent prayer. We should always be in a mode of prayer,
yes.
talking and conversating with the Lord, even in our hearts. We ought to always pray, and I thank God for the woman of God tonight and for the word of God and for the passage of scripture that she, amen, God gave it tonight to talk to us, Paul and Silas, at midnight, that dark
yeah.
time in their lives.
Mm.
It was dark. It was a dark, glory to God. It was a dark time, and people are anticipating dark times in the future. But night is no different from day with God. But in those dark times in our lives, when things go from bad to worse, and to whip you with your clothes on is one thing. But to whip you when you take them clothes off, that bare skin is another.
Ooh.
So when things go from bad to worse, we still ought to pray. We still ought to get and be in touch with our master, with our maker, with our creator. For there is nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing. There is no creature. There is no force. There is no man, no woman, no male, no female that can outbox God. Hallelujah. And the reason we ought to always pray, because he has all power in heaven and earth in his hands. He has never made anything that he cannot control. And so we ought to always pray. We ought to always seek the mind, seek the face of God. And when you say seek the face, he means seek his mind, seek his will. What is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to happen? I'm going to tell you something else that a lot of people are not thinking about. God, this election went the way that God wanted it to. That's what we cannot forget. God is not out of control. Our circumstances and our situations does not change who God is.
That's
it
right.
does not change his power, his plan, his will. We are on target, y'all.
at the end of 2024 going into 25, we are on target. God always knows what is and what is to be. And we have to trust God for his plan, whatever that be. I saw in this passage tonight that Paul was planning to go one way, and the Holy Spirit redirected him. We did not see that the apostle got all discombobulated. He didn't get all troubled and worried and, Lord have mercy, and what we going to do now? He knew that God was in control. He knew that he could trust God. And listen, he was willing to accept God's plan because he knew who God was. He knew the power of God. He had tested and tried. His faith was in the living God, that God had never steered him wrong. God had never left him, forsake him. Hallelujah. And people that want us to know, it does not matter about, it may be some difficult times ahead. It may be some dark nights ahead, but God is still in control. And I heard the word of the Lord said, amen, glory to God, that he had never lost not one that the Father gave him.
Not one. Not
Hallelujah. Yeah. And he's not about to start. We have really got to trust him fully. We got to run to, amen, this ark of safety in these dark times. We got to get, amen, in a place with God, amen, where we are not fearing any man, blessing be the name of the Lord, knowing that God is in control. And because he's never lost one, we don't have to fear that now. Amen. But it's going to take adhering to this word. It's going to take really doing this word. It's going to take obedience now. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to do it, y'all. I'm going to do it.
I'm
going to continue to pray. I'm going to add to my prayers. I'm going to add to fasting. Amen. And I'm going to throw in some fasting because fasting does not change God, but it moves God, move us out of God's way and allow him to work his plan in our lives to accomplish his will. And that's what we got to persistently do it. I heard the woman of God say, we can't do it today and skip five more days and we get our own little schedule. I'm going to pray Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But the Bible said that men ought always pray.
Always.
I heard, and I'm going to be done. I heard a preacher say once that he had his sermon all printed out. And they messed around and turned on that big fan in back of him. And scattered his notes all over the place.
All right.
And he said, I said, God, you done put me on the spot. And God said, no, you put me on the spot because the word should have been in your heart.
All right.
But we got to be ready to go whichever direction God sent us. God changed Paul's direction.
Yes.
Paul wanted to go this way, and God said, no, I want you over here.
That's right.
And so God has in place, because he just might Dr. Deb, he just might want to see what we're going to do.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
God just might want to see what each of us going to do. God got Trump there, not so much as having us run scared, but to see if we're going to do this word. See if we're going to stick to what we say we're going to do. Hallelujah. And I know you know it. Sometimes when you're praising God and you're caught up in the spirit and you feel that joy, you feel like you can leap over truth. But when that spirit ain't there, what you going to do then? Let me tell us something. There are so many things that are easier said than done. But we got to have a made-up mind that come what may, I'm going to stay with the Lord. And that's more than the talk, because when the furnace turned up, when the furnace of affliction is turned up, I thank you, woman of God, for this word, these two, amen, one in one part one, part two. I decided when they said that Trump was going to be the winner, I decided that my God is still on the throne.
That's right.
And there's nobody bigger, nobody bigger than our God. And I said I would hope that this situation would turn many to Christ. That it will send them running to him, not running away, but running to him. And we all have got to make up our minds. Sing a song. It takes a well-made-up mind to serve the Lord. And so I'm praying that God will use this situation to bring many to him. In these night time, at midnight, that dark time, the time that a lot are anticipating happens, let's put our hope, let's put our trust, let's put our faith in God, and let's always pray. Amen. Jesus said it himself, men ought always pray. And we need to find ourselves doing, in this hour, doing 1 Chronicles 7:14, humbling ourselves, praying, seeking his face, and turn from our wicked ways. That means repent.
Hallelujah.
And I heard Dr. Deb say in the beginning, when we are the church, when we are saved, when we are delivered, when we are serving the Lord, we don't have anything to fear. They said if you're going to worry, pray. If you pray, don't worry.
Don't worry.
But the church has a Project 25 that we should have been doing it in 2024. We should have been doing, the church should have been doing Project 2025 for the church in 21, in 20, in 19, in 18, and coming on up. And we should still, regardless to what these people in authority do, we ought to have our Project 25. Doing the will of God, praising, prayer, and worship, serving the Lord with gladness, and allowing him to do and be who he said he would be in our lives. God bless you. We have a Project 25. Amen. The church does. And men should always pray and not faint. Don't give up, but let's run to him instead of running from. Let's run to him and see the deliverance, see the deliverance, see the deliverance that God has for his church. Love you all with the love of God. I pray that you all will have a blessed and a safe rest of the week, and that we will remember we're not going to dance by their music, their 2025. We got our own agenda, the church has, and we need to be on it and about it. God bless each of you. Love you with the love of God.
Amen. Again, Apostle. Amen.
Many of us have given so much energy towards this election and the outcome. We've given so much energy that we need to push that energy towards praising and glorifying God and trusting God to change the minds and the hearts of this incoming cabinet. Only God can change hearts and minds, but we have to put our energy in God continuously, because we know that God is sovereign. God is omniscient. He has knowledge of all things, past, present, and future. He is omnipresent. He's with us. But one thing we can rest assured as being his children, we can hold on to Psalm Selection 37:25, and it says, I have been young, and now I'm old.
Yet
have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We have to make it personal. We can't get into these group chats and say this and say that, because what happens if you start formulating these groups, then you find yourself depressed. So we have to break those chains. Every chain has several links. We got to break that link of depression. We got to break that link of backbiting. We got to break that link of letting people bring us stuff that's going to keep us upset. We got there are a lot of links we got to break in this chain now in order for us to be free.
Oh, yeah.
So we place all of this in God's hand, and God's going to take care of us. Because one thing about it, we already see that the Republicans are fighting against themselves even before this election. So they control both the House and the Senate, and they're going to be a bunch of fighting children. So for we as children of God, we're going to have to just be prayerful and focus on God and quit focusing on Trump and whoever else he's going to appoint. May y'all be blessed and be at peace and walk in calmness and strength. Amen.
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 Thank you,
Dick.
Thank you, Dick.
And,
matter of fact,
Henderson,
same thing.
Yes.
Prayer,
sister.
Brother Henderson, I heard you mention the past also. Just like when the pandemic came, everybody ran towards God. And we need to continue to stay there. Even if Trump is president, we got to continue to stay with God. We got to stand, and we got to trust God. Because he said he'll never leave us, nor forsake us.
Nor forsake us. Amen.
And we have to continue to be persistent. See, we have a habit. We are a creature of habit. But we have a habit also when things are going good, we kind of fall by the wayside. We still don't. Pick up them biblical principles where I think I got this figured out. No, we don't have nothing figured out. We got to continue to praise God and continue to stay in this word and be persistent.
Yeah.
Even when things seem to be looking good, you still praise God because nothing stays the same. Good times don't always stay the same. Neither does bad times. So, in essence, we just need to trust God at all times. Amen.
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 Always. And we can praise our way out of it through everything. Just like you said, we got to continue to praise him.
Yes.
And he'll bring us through.
All right, Sister Pearlene. Amen.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Thank you. Thank you, Janice. Thank you.
Yeah.
God be the glory.
Thank you.
Amen.
There's an observation I want y'all to listen to. Look at our forefathers. Look what they went through. Look at the struggles that they had. And it was their faith that ushered them into being delivered. They had hope. I never, ever will forget this lesson I learned on the porch of Mr. Clarence Hicks Sr. in 1986. That older man told me, he said, Brother Henderson, if you have the faith, the hope, and belief in something you can't see, son, you got yourself something. I didn't understand that. But you fast forward 38 years later, I understand what the man was saying. And that's what we're going to have to do. We got to tap into that hope and that faith that our ancestors placed in us. We got to tap back into it. Because we as people of color, we know how to survive. We know how to improvise, but we no longer have to improvise and survive from the old way. We got to yoke up with Jesus and let Jesus lead the way and not let all this foolishness get in our head and not listen to the news, because we have to understand all these different news networks now. They have to get their ratings now. And negativity sells. That's just the society we're in, but we don't have to take part in the negativity. And we don't have to let negativity drive us into a moment of fear and torture, because God did not allow his son Jesus to redeem us that we have a life of fear. He died that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly to the full until it overflows mentally, spiritually, and in every other area of our lives. That's what our Savior died for us. So let's not be upset with what's going on, because God's in control. Do y'all think God is going to create everything he created and let someone come in and take control of it? Be transformed, y'all, by renewing your mind in God's word and peace. Thank you.
There you go. Amen. Amen.
The Holy Amen. Spirit will bring wisdom, knowledge, and words back to your remembrance.
Amen. Yes. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
My spouse said the same thing. She is not going to let this negative mess up her mind. Look on to what is positive. Amen.
Look to the hills.
Which cometh my help. Amen.
All our help coming from the Lord.
Amen.
Gotta keep a balance, saints. Gotta keep a balance. Yes.
Amen. Let's move on.
Thank you.
He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright moon and star. He's gonna move. He's gonna move.
Yeah.
Amen. Anyone else? Praise list. I know we got one. On time.
Amen. I praise God because of who he is. I praise God that he woke me up. He brought me up here safely. He carried me through the surgery safely. Even though I'm in bed, I'm still praising because he brought me this far. It's just another day that the Lord has kept me, blessed me.
Yeah.
I'm just grateful. Gratefulness is flowing through my heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
Come on
Amen.
In the room.
Amen.
Ready?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's Susan.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Thanks. Good evening.
Good evening.
Dr. Singleton texted me and she wanted me to sing. I texted back. I said, told her I'm having a problem there. So she said, she prayed for me and I prayed for myself. And y'all know what is gone. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. God is late. Now I know the service is almost over. But y'all know I had a song here about Paul and Silas. I'm going to give you all a verse of. Is it too late?
Go ahead.
Nope. Yep, sir.
I'm not going to sing long. Paul and Silas down in jail had no money to pay their bail. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Paul and Silas began to shout. Jail door opened and they walked out. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Your eyes on the prize and hold on. Heard the voice of Jesus say, I am the way. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. When my way gets dark as night, I know that Lord will be my light. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put up with you. Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Keith.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Sister Susan. Amen. So, now we move on. Oh, praise reports. We still on praise reports. We're still on praise reports. Any others? If there's no others, we move on to the prayer list.
Amen. Amen. Deacon Connor and Sister Brent, tonight touched my heart tonight. I thought about, we've been talking about Trump, but I want to put the Vice President Kamala Harris on our prayer list tonight. Let's pray
Amen.
For her.
Amen.
Mr. Walsh, because we don't hear that much from her right now. We want to pray for her that God is moving in her, whatever he has his will for her to
Amen.
Obey.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. On the prayer list.
Oh, yes.
Because we were in the same situation when Hillary got the popular vote. Trump got the electoral vote. And I'm still yet to understand why we're doing things the way we do. But anyway, we haven't heard anything from Kamala. Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, since, you know, Trump got most of the votes. I still can't say he won, but anyway, he got most of the votes. Okay?
We ain't going to be like him.
But we keep her in our prayer. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Okay. And we also keep him in our prayer.
Talk on it.
Yeah, we have to pray for him. We've been told
to pray
for
him. Yes. Okay. Are there any other dishes to the
prayer list? I'm asking prayer for.
Go ahead.
Asking prayer for Roderick Oliver, my nephew. Need some serious prayer.
Yes,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen. Any others?
Yes.
Amen.
Is Diane Gilliam still on the line?
Put her name on it.
Okay, any additions? Any others to be added to the prayer list? Sister Brenda Lou, Britt, are you still online?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are still on the line, and there are no other additions to the prayer list. We are ready. Would you please take us to the throne of grace?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for the word tonight, Sister Dr. Deb. Excellent job. Our Father, our Holy Father, we've heard your word.
Yes.
We believe everything I've heard. We know the answer, so we thank you for the answer tonight.
Yes.
Father God, we come, and first of all, asking forgiveness for my many sins. I come lifting up this young lady that Dr. Deb has brought to our attention, Ann Mack, who's in Iceland.
Yes.
I don't know Miss Mack, but you know her. So we lift her up for healing tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, only you. You've done it before. And I know you'll do it again.
Yeah.
So we're going to claim the victory on Sister Ann Mack tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for her healing.
Yes, yes.
And Lord, we're going to start dancing for Sister Ruby D, how you've already blessed.
Yeah.
How you brought her from out from under the anesthesia.
Yeah.
How you let her be talking tonight in her right mind.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And we're going to thank you for the healing that when get her
thank
up
you,
tonight in this midnight hour, probably they're going to get up and have her walking around. So we lift her up to you, Lord. We lift her up right now in the name of Jesus. We lift up healing. We lift up total healing. We lift up total walking. We lift her up right now in Jesus' name. We lift up Ruby C as she's by her side.
Oh, yeah.
What a lady.
Yeah.
We lift her up as she gives up her sickness to stand by somebody else's sickness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we thank you, Lord. And then we lift up Vice President Kamala Harris.
Yes.
We lift up her household. We lift her up as well, Lord. We lift up Governor Walz. We lift him up. We lift up his disappointment as well. We lift up our government officials. We lift up our president-elect Trump. And we lift up our vice president-elect Vance. We lift up all of our government officials. And, Lord, we lift up Apostle's nephew, Roderick Oliver. You know his situation.
Yes,
we put him in your hands.
Yes.
Lord, we put him in your hands right now.
Yes, Father.
Claim it done.
In
claim
the name
it done.
Of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We lift up Diane Gillum.
Yes.
Lots of issues where we lift up to you, Lord.
In the name of
we
Jesus.
We can't do nothing but say thank you in spite of all that we're going through. We're going to praise you. We're going to do what you told us to do. We're going to pray. We're going to praise you, Lord. And we thank you right now for all that we've been given to do. So, Lord, we thank you for this soldier who has preached your word. We thank you.
Yes.
All these preachers that have come on this line. We thank you.
Thank
for
you.
All
thank
these
you.
Individuals that have come on the line today, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to
hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you. And it is done. Everything is already all right. The battle's been fought and the victory's been won. So we thank you for the victory. We're going to go ahead and start praising you for our victory. We ain't worried about no Project 25. We got Jesus and that's enough. So Lord, we lift up all these individuals that have been brought to our attention that's going to be our new 25 leaders. Some of them have to beg to get in, but whatever it takes, we're going to praise you for them anyway.
Yes,
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we're going to thank you.
Thank you, in the name of Jesus.
We're going to start praising you, and we're going to keep on loving you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the thanks. In the precious, powerful name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord.
Amen.
It's already done.
It's
already fixed.
Already fixed.
Our agenda is already fixed.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
thank you, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, it is done.
From the beginning to the songs, we thank Sister Susan Milton for our song of praise this evening.
Yes.
We thank the prayer warriors. We thank the comments, Apostle Lasside, Pastor Kuiper. We thank you so very much. We thank you for all the
People that dial in to this session, I welcome the word. Thank you for being listeners and hearers of the word. We thank you so much. And most of all, we thank Dr. Dare. She delivers. She delivers.
Indeed, she did.
Yes.
She delivers. All we have to do is listen. We thank you so much, Dr. Deb, and we wish for the rest of you a good and prosperous rest of the week. May God bless you. I love all y'all, whether you like it or not. It's been a plum, please, and pleasure.
All right. All right.
Amen. Amen.
Sound like one of them country boys.
Please and please.
Amen.
So until we hear you again on Sunday, y'all have a blessed rest of the week.
All right.
Amen.
God loves
amen.
You. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Good night,
amen.
All. Love you all.
Good night. Love y'all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Sister Susan.
Good night. Good night, Ruby Clayton. And Ruby D.
Bye, and Jillian.
Yeah, have a good rest and a good night. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This is Diane Gillian. Can I make a prayer request, please? Mm-mm.